And now from peas to another type of plant, let's join Ben and Dave, who are exploring the chemistry of chlorophyll.
For this week's experiment, Dave and I are looking at the chemistry of plants, and in particular the chemistry of plant leaves. So Dave, what are we going to do today?
I'm going to look at one of the most important pigments in the natural world, and that's chlorophyll.
Now, this is the stuff that's responsible for photosynthesis, isn't it? It absorbs light from the sun and it gives the plants the sugar it needs for energy.
That's right, and we're going to try and separate it out from all the other coloured pigments in a leaf by using a really classic chemistry technique called chromatography. Chromatography is essentially a black art. It's about separating different substances by how well they dissolve in a solvent and how well they're attached to a substrate. So you've got to get the solvent and the substrate right to separate out the things you're trying to separate.
What solvent do we need when we're looking at chlorophyll?
Well, one of the best ones is acetone, and you can get that in cheap nail polish removers. If you look in the ingredients, they should say acetone. The expensive ones have all got other lovely things, which is better for your skin, but you want the cheap, grotty one.
Now, acetone is the stuff that gives nail polish remover that really distinctive, sharp smell, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. It's also the stuff which dissolves plastic, so be careful of it around anything plastic.
OK, so we have smelly nail polish remover, and we have a handful of leaves. What's next?
We need a substrate, and we're going to use paper.
Does it matter what sort of paper you use?
As I was saying, this is quite a black art. It appears to be very sensitive to the type of paper. It certainly doesn't work on any kind of tissue papers or anything designed for mopping things up. You want to use a filter paper, which is very good at not sticking things to it.
So blotting paper would be out, but coffee filter should be fine.
Yeah, and you've got to use white coffee filter, otherwise you can't see anything.
And what about things like writing paper? Would they work?
You can give it a go. It will produce different results, but they can be interesting as well.
So we're going to use coffee filter, which should give us some fairly good results. We have our leaves ready and we have our solvent. So how do we get this started?
First thing you want is to make a nice thin strip of coffee filter, so maybe a centimetre wide. And then trim the end so it's nice and square. We then need to put some of the leaf onto it. I found a really good way of doing that is to take a very thin coin, something like a 1p coin, with a smooth edge around the outside. You then put the leaf face upwards on top of the coffee filter, about 2 centimetres away from one end, and then push nice and hard with the coin and roll it a little bit, and you should find that when you take the leaf off, you get a blob of green colour on the paper.
OK, so we have our strip of filter paper. 2 centimetres up from one end, there's now a blob of juice squeezed out of a leaf. Is that ready to go?
Well, you seem to get cleaner results if you leave it to dry out first. So if you leave it 5 or 10 minutes in somewhere nice and warm and dry all the liquid off it, then that's much better. I've got one here I've already dried out. So you want to put a bit of acetone in a jar. Basically, you want the bottom of the jar covered with acetone and enough there that it's not going to evaporate too quickly. And now we just need to dip the end of the paper in the acetone and support it some way. I'm just going to fold the top of the paper over so it hangs on the top of the jar.
So the paper itself needs to go into the acetone, but only the bottom little bit. And actually, the acetone doesn't even get as high as the blob of plant material. You said dip it in there. Do we just dip it in and remove it, or do we need to leave it in the solvent?
You want to leave it in there for 10 or 15 minutes until that solvent, you can see it's gently moving its way up the paper, until it's moved most of the way up your strip of paper.
So the solvent's making its way up the paper, and already I can see that the blob of green that was there squeezed out of the leaf has become sort of stretched out up the paper. It's become a big blur.
OK, so what's happening here is that you've essentially got like a river of solvent very slowly flowing up the piece of paper. The chemicals from the leaf, some of them are slightly soluble in this solvent, so they'll dissolve for a bit and they'll get moved up with this river of solvent. Then sometimes they'll stop being dissolved and fall back onto the paper. Then maybe they'll dissolve again and move up. So each different substance will be moving up through the paper at a slightly different speed.
So the ones with greater affinity for the solvent, as it were, are likely to move further?
Yep, they should do. And the ones with minimum affinity are going to move very slowly.
So should we just end up with all of these different chemicals being evenly distributed up that bit of paper?
Well, I've got a few here which I've done already. Here's some from the carnation leaf, which we were using earlier. Here at the bottom, you see there's a sort of brown lump. That's actually where I did the squidging with the coin. And obviously there's a load of substances which didn't dissolve in the liquid at all. And a little bit higher, there's kind of a dark bluey green. And then quite a lot further up, there's a kind of much lighter yellowy green.
It's pretty much clear in between them, though. This isn't a big smear. This is formed bands in certain places.
That's right. The different substances essentially have a speed at which they move up the paper, and it's quite a predictable speed. So they move up as bands as the solvent flows.
So actually the solvent is separating out these chemicals in such a way that if we know how fast any particular chemical moves, we can identify which chemicals are where.
That's right. And it's even more critical for chemistry, this process in various forms, because in chemistry you often aren't dealing with a single substance, you're dealing with a horrible mixture of substances, and you want to work out what on earth is in this mixture. And so by using these sort of techniques, you can separate out all the substances, and then you can deal with one at a time, which is a lot less complicated.
I've always thought that the green stuff in leaves is chlorophyll, but by the looks of it here, it's separated out into two different bands, which suggests to me that there's two different chemicals, and they're both green.
Yes, in fact, there are two different chemicals, and they're both chlorophyll. In plants, there's two different types of chlorophyll, chlorophyll A and chlorophyll B. They both absorb light at the blue end of the spectrum and the red end of the spectrum. One of them absorbs really deep blue and really deep red, and the other one's slightly less deep blue and slightly less deep red. And so they look slightly different colours.
So I imagine this gives it the advantage of absorbing light over a wider range of wavelengths.
That's right, the plant wants to absorb as much light as it can, and if it can throw away the minimum amount of light, the better it is for it. There are actually other colours of chlorophyll as well, as in fact another two, which you can find in things like algae and seaweeds, but never in plants.
You also said earlier that if you do this with different paper, you'll get a different result. But surely all the chemicals are the same, so you'll still get the same bands.
But they might not stick to the paper in exactly the same way. I've done this with various kinds of paper. One of them, which is quite interesting, is just normal writing paper. Here you can see that all the green colours have stayed exactly in the same place. But there's this very, very faint purple colour slightly further up. Now, one very common purple dye in plants are anthocyanins, which are the things which give red cabbage that purple colour.
So using different solvents and using different substrates, in our case different kinds of paper, you can actually separate out the chemicals that you find in leaves and find some very interesting things, and all very pretty colours. That's all we've got for Kitchen Science this week, and we'll be back with more very soon.
Thanks, Ben and Dave, using their kitchen chromatography there to separate out the chemicals found in plants and finding the different forms of chlorophyll. There's loads of other experiments you can try at home on our website, thenakedscientist.com/kitchenscience.
Distilling the best science. The Naked Scientists.